الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our readings in the work by Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani ibn Abdul Wahid Al-Maqdisi rahimahullahu ta'ala who died in the year 600 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his famous work Al-Umdatu fi Al-Ahkam Al-Umdatu fi Al-Ahkam and we have reached Kitabu Al-Buyur in our studies in this particular work the book of business transactions the book of business transactions Kitabu Al-Buyur and we have had several introductory classes before even reading in this chapter Alhamdulillah and we have touched on a number of affairs principles and benefits related to this chapter, the chapter of the legislative rulings and regulations that are related to buying and trading. We have seen in our previous classes the arrangement of the fuqaha and their works, how they arrange the books of fiqh and likewise the scholars of hadith as well, their arrangement for the books of ahadith al-ahkam, the books that collect the narrations with regards to the clarification of the Islamic rulings and jurisprudence. We have seen the benefits related to that. And likewise, the meaning of bay', buying and selling linguistically, as well as the legislative definition, as well as the legislative definition. We have also seen the ruling of the issue of buying and selling and that the origin is that it's lawful. We have seen that for the contracts to be considered legislative, they must fulfill several conditions. And we have discussed each one of those conditions in brief detail, clarifying the evidence for each one of them and a number of issues related to each one of those conditions. And likewise, we have seen as well a number of different principles in the chapter of Al-Buyur, a number of different principles that are related to buying and selling. It is hoped from those introductory classes that we will all have a good understanding of the fundamentals of this chapter. And after that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as we begin reading these narrations, we will be able to benefit and understand in a good manner based upon the light that has proceeded from understanding the fundamentals of this chapter and the issues that we had discussed previously. So the author, he began this book, Kitabu Al-Buyur, with the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar. So he says, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, an Abdullahi ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, al-Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annuhu qal, idha tabayi'a ar-rajulani, فكل واحد منهما بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا وكانا جميعا أو يخير أحدهما الآخر فتبايع على ذلك فقد وجب البيع فقد وجب البيع. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. He says that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إذا تبايع الرجلان, that if two men, they go into a business contract. فَكُلُ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا بِالْخِيَارِ, that each one of them, they have the choice, the khiyar. We have seen in our previous classes that this is khiyar al-majlis. This is khiyar al-majlis. And that both of them, they have the choice. And after they agree and they make the contract, so long as they're still together, they have the choice to continue with the contract or to nullify it, so long as they do not separate from each other. مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا وَكَانَ جَمِيعًا, so long as they did not separate from each other and they remain together. And they remain together. So this narration and the principles derived from it and a number of the benefits likewise from this hadith have preceded, alhamdulillah. أَوْ يُخَيِّرُ أَحَدُهُمَا الْآخَرُ, or one of them will give the other a choice. Or one of them will give the other the choice. فَتَبَايَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْبَيْءِ, and then they agree on their contract based upon that, then the contract becomes obligatory. Then the contract becomes obligatory. So if two men, إِذَا تَبَايَ رَجُلَانِ, the people of knowledge, they mention, هَذَا خَرَجَ مَخْرَجَ الْغَالِبِ, يعني this is what is considered normally, but it's not limited to men. whether it's two men or two women or a man and a woman, anyone who's doing business. إذا تبايع الرجلان فكل واحد منهما بالخيار. And each one of them, they have the khiyar. They have the khiyar. What is intended here again is khiyar al-majlis. And alhamdulillah, we had classes clarifying the details with regards to that, so we're not going to go back into them now. We're going to move on and take that which we had not taken, or just brief review of the issues that have preceded. مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا وَكَانَ جَمِيعًا. So long as they do not separate from each other and they remain together. So this was the evidence for the issue of khiyar al-majlis. Khiyar al-majlis, that if a person, he buys something from someone and the contract is finished, that they still have the option to cancel that contract so long as they do not separate from each other. So long as they do not separate from that from each other and they remain together, any physically. And the details of this have come, alhamdulillah. It's known as khiyar al-majlis. Khiyar al-majlis. And then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَوْ يُخَيِّرُ أَحَدُهُمَا الْآخُرُ. Or one of them will give the other the option. Or one of them will give the other the option. We have seen that this is an evidence that it's allowed for them to overlook that option. And if they want to nullify that option and make the contract binding immediately, this is lawful for them or for one of them. Also, this is indication to another type of khiyar, and that was khiyar al-shart, meaning that if a person, he wanted to set a condition, if he wanted to set a condition, so a person, he will have the option to set a condition if he likes. And this is indication to this issue here also, which has proceeded in our introductory classes, alhamdulillah. فَتَبَايَعَ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْبَيْعِ. If they agree and make their contract based upon that, then the contract and then the contract becomes binding. So from the benefits of this narration, we see the legislation of buying and selling. We see the legislation of buying and selling. This is from the evidences of that. And even more specifically, the evidence of the issue of khiyar al-majlis. Khiyar al-majlis, which has preceded. Khiyar al-majlis, which has preceded. In reality, we have seen that the issue of khiyar al-majlis, it has a number of affairs, and we had taken them in brief detail, alhamdulillah. And we had taken seven of them. The first one being the one mentioned here in this narration, khiyar al-majlis. And we have seen what that means. And the second one is khiyar al-shart, whenever they have the option to set a condition, one of them or both of them, in the best interest of the buyer or the seller or both of them. And likewise, we have seen as well khiyar al-ghabn. Khiyar al-ghabn, the option for returning the item or getting the money back or the missing money if a person he's taken advantage of and he sold the item for more than its value. And also we have seen in the same light or in the same principle, khiyar al-aib. Khiyar al-aib, the option of returning the item or getting it fixed if it has a fault or a defect. And also we have seen the issue as well, khiyar al-tadlis. Khiyar al-tadlis, the option of returning the item or getting one's money back or his right fulfilled for those who deceive while performing business transactions, who are deceptive in the transaction with regards to the item or the cost of the item. Also, we had seen خيار الخلف في الصفة وخيار الخلف في قدر الثمن. خيار الخلف في قدر الثمن. We have seen also the option of returning the item and canceling the contract for the one who purchased something upon a particular description, and then whenever it was delivered, it did not meet the description. And likewise, whenever the buyer and the seller, they have a difference with regards to the cost of the item, when it comes time to pay, they fall into dispute with regards to this. All of these issues here, they go back to the fundamental principle that this narration is an evidence for khiyar al-majlis. Khiyar al-majlis. And all of this has proceeded, alhamdulillah. All of this has proceeded, alhamdulillah. So this issue here is established, and likewise there's an indication here for the second affair. Likewise, khiyar al-shart, and also there's an indication as well that the buyer and the seller, they have the right to overlook that option and to nullify it, and to cancel it, and to void it out in the beginning, and they have the right to accept it and to abide by it. And likewise, the issue of that khiyar, the option of returning the item remains so long as they do not separate from each other, meaning physically. And many of these details, they have come, alhamdulillah. And again, we're not going to discuss them over. So the wisdom from the legislation of khiyar al-majlis is to facilitate and to make it easy for the people. And this is from the beauties of al-Islam and the encompassment of the legislation. And many times a person, he may purchase something or even sell something and then later regret it. Maybe he hears of the item that's on sale and that there's only a few left, and then he will hasten to buy it. And then after he purchases it, he will remember some other obligations that he has to fulfill, or that his money is really not, and he's not really in the financial state that he thought, and now he regrets purchasing the item. So he has the option to return it. So this is from the beauty of al-Islam, the complete encompassment of the legislation, and in the completion of the legislation, how has it encompassed all aspects of the human life? How it has encompassed all aspects and details of the human life. So in this narration, the narrator is Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, and he is Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, al-Qurashi al-Adawi radiyallahu anhuma. Him and his father, both they are from the companions, and his father is the best of the companions after Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhum jami'an. His kunya is Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, al-Qurashi al-Adawi. They're from the tribe of Quraysh, and after that the tribe of Bani Adi. And he aslama Abdullah bi Mecca ma'a abihi Umar radiyallahu anhuma walam yukun balagha yawma idhin. And Abdullah, he accepted Islam in Mecca along with his father Umar, and he had not even reached the age of puberty at that time. وَهَاجَرَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ مَعَ أَبِيهِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. And Abdullah, he migrated along with his father Umar to Al-Madinah رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا هُوَ أَحَدُ الْمُكْثِرِينَ فِي الرِّوَايَةِ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ الْكِرَامِ رضي الله عنهم وأحد العبادلة الأربعة وأحد العبادلة الأربعة. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he's from those companions who had narrated more than 1,000 narrations, and he's from those who are considered al-mukthirun, and he's those who narrated many narrations. And what that means is over 1,000 narrations in the books of hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar, he's from them, and also he's from al-abadila al-arba. Also, he's from al-abadila al-arba'a, yani there are seven from the companions radiyallahu anhum. They're known as al-mukthiruna as-sab'a, the seven noble companions who narrated more than 1,000 narrations in the books of hadith. And it's come in the lines of poetry, al-mukthiruna fi riwayat al-athar Abu Hurairah yalihi ibn Umar wa Anas wa al-bahr kal-kudri وَجَابِرٌ وَزَوْجَةُ النَّبِيِّ وَجَابِرٌ وَزَوْجَةُ النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُكْثِرُونَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَثَرِ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ يَلِيهِ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ. First is Abu Huraira, and after him is Ibn Umar. وَأَنَسٌ وَالْبَحْرُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنُ عَبَّاسِ كَالْخُدْرِي أَبُو سَعِيدِ الْخُدْرِي وَجَابِرٌ جابر ابن عبد الله وَزَوْجَةُ النَّبِيِّ وَجَابِرٌ وَزَوْجَةُ النَّبِيِّ. And Jabir and the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يعني Aisha radiyallahu anha wa an as-sahabati ajma'in. فَهُمُ الْمُكْفِرُونَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَثَرِ. They are those who have narrated more than 1,000 narrations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah ibn Umar, he's from them radiyallahu anhuma, and also he's from al-abadila al-arba'a, the four from the younger companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all having the same name, Abdullah. And they are Abdullah ibn Umar, who we have here, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma and Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhuma. These are four noble companions, all from the youth. From the noble companions, they all had the same name, Abdullah. Abdullah. They're known as al-Abadila al-Arba'a min al-Sahaba al-Kiram radiyallahu anhum. وَكَانَ مِنْ أَوْعِيَاتِ الْعِلْمِ. Likewise, Abdullah, he was from the great carriers of knowledge. From the great carriers of knowledge. وَمِنْ أَشَدِّ النَّاسِ اتِّبَاعًا لِلْأَثَرِ. And he was from the sternest of the people to hold fast and to follow the narrations. قَدْ اسْتُسْغِرَ عَنْ أُحَدٍ وَشَاهِدَ الْخَنْدَقِ وَمَا بَعْدَهَا مِنَ الْمَشَاهِدِ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And he was considered too young to partake in the battle of Uhud, but the first battle that he participated in and that he witnessed was the battle of the trench. And he attended and participated the rest of the battles along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after that. وَهُوَ شَقِيقُ حَفْصَةَ أُمِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And he is the blood brother of Hafsa, the mother of the believers, the mother of the believers, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ummuhuma Zainab bint Mad'un. Their mother, her name is Zainab bint Mad'un. Mad'un. Wa kana ashbah waladi Umar bi Umar Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma. From the sons of Umar ibn al-Khattab, those who resembled him most was his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Wa ashbahu waladi Abdullahi bi Abdullahi Salim ibn Abdullah. And from those who resembled Abdullah the most from his sons was his son Salim. Salim ibn Abdullah. Salim ibn Abdullah. And some of the people of knowledge have considered Salim ibn Abdullah to be from al-Fuqaha al-Saba'a. To be from al-Fuqaha al-Saba'a. The seven great scholars of fiqh and jurisprudence and hadith that were alive in Al-Madinah in the time of the Tabi'een, that were alive in Medina in the time of the Tabi'een, in the time of the Tabi'een. Some of the scholars they mention from them is Salim ibn Abdullah, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Rawa ilman kathiran an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa an Abi Bakrin wa Umar. وعن السابقين رضي الله عنهم. And Abdullah رضي الله عنه, he narrated great knowledge, vast knowledge from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and likewise from Abu Bakr as well as Umar and a number of the first and foremost to accept Islam from the سابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار. قال الإمام مالك بقي ابن عمر بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 60 سنة يَقْدَمُ عَلَيْهِ وُفُودُ النَّاسِ. That Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he lived after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 60 years. For 60 years, and the delegations, they would come to him and travel to meet him and learn and benefit from him. So he's from those who carried the sunnah on after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and living after him for 60 years, teaching the people and clarifying the deen of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَهُ مَنَاقِبُ وَفَضَائِلُ كَثِيرًا. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he has many great virtues and praiseworthy qualities and traits. تُوفِيَ بِمَكَّةَ سَنَةَ 73. He died in Mecca radiyallahu anhu in the year 73. After this, the author says, when Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu anhu annahu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam albay'ani bil khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa aw qala hatta yatafarraqa fa in sadaqa wa bayyana burika lahumā fi bay'ihima wa in katama wa kadhaba muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima. After this, the author, he mentions the narration of Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu anhu. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said al-bay'ani bil-khiyar, that the two people in the contract, meaning al-ba'i wal-mushtari, the buyer and the seller, the seller and the buyer bil-khiyar, both of them, they have the choice. Again, this narration is in reference to khiyar al-majlis, khiyar المجلس ما لم يتفرقا أو قال حتى يتفرقا. So long as they do not separate from each other, or he said until they separate from each other. A clarification of how long that option will last. So long as they're together, and once they separate, then that option is finished. And the option is finished. Again, we have seen those details in our previous classes. Alhamdulillah. But here there's an addition, and it's very important and beneficial. فَإِنْ صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْئِهِمَا. So if they're truthful and they clarify, and all the affairs related to their contract and dealings, both of them, the buyer and the seller, if they're both truthful and they both clarify the issues related to their contract, بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْئِهِمَا, there will be blessing in their transaction. Then there will be blessing in their transaction. وَإِن كَتَمَا وَكَذَبَا مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا. But if they conceal and are dishonest, then the blessing of their contract will be stripped. Then the blessing of their contract, of their business, will be stripped. Will be stripped. So there's a great benefit here, in addition to that which has preceded about خِيَار الْمَجْلِس, and that is the obligation of being truthful. The obligation of being truthful and honest and having integrity in dealing with the people. And dealing with the people. And this will only occur properly and truly be beneficial whenever a person, he has honesty and integrity, and he's truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is sincere in his faith, he will fear Allah. And he will fear Allah with regards to his own rights, and likewise with regards to the rights of the people. He will not violate their rights out of fear of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great benefit, a sidq. A person, he must be truthful, he must be honest, he must not be dishonest or conceal anything or lie or use treachery or deception in his business and his trade, even if he thinks it's going to increase the profit. Rather, a believer, he will be honest and truthful, and he will clarify the details, even if the profit will be less or fewer. He will suffice with that which is lawful and halal. And in this manner, he will have blessing in his business, in his transaction, in his wealth, and in his life. As for those who try to go around the legislation or to deceive the creation and the people of Allah, seeking to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the blessing will be stripped from his efforts and from his transaction and from his business. And even if he actually amasses a lot of wealth, it will not be good for him or a blessing. Rather, it could be an evidence or proof against him, or a means for him to transgress the limits and to earn the anger of Allah, to earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the being truthful here includes being truthful and honest with regards to the description of the item that's for sale, and likewise with regards to the description of the price that one is paying. And in both aspects, they must be clarified. And the people must be honest in their dealings. They must be honest and in their dealings. And they must clarify these affairs. So, الصدق هنا في ذكر الصفات المذكورة المطلوبة وفي أصل الثمن. A person, he must be truthful in the descriptions that are mentioned and that are required in the items for sale, and likewise in the original price. He can't say that, oh, I paid 100 for this and he really got it for 50. He's being dishonest. He can't say that it's brand new and it's brand new out of the box and he just touched the box up and put it in new plastic. And the likes like this. All of this is from lying and being dishonest. There's just examples of that. These are just examples of that. So the clarification, it must come, and a person, he must be honest. وجوب البيان من الجميع يعني من البائع والمشتري لما يحتاج إلى معرفته من عيب في السلعة وثمنها. The obligation of clarifying from both parties, the buyer and the seller, to that which is in need to be known, and for the contract to be proper and to be correct, from any deficiencies or problems or faults that may be found in the item for sale or in its cost. Likewise, we see in this narration al-barakah, the issue of al-barakah, the issue of blessing. This had preceded in our previous classes that we had been reading in Riyad al-Salihin about the chapter of the etiquettes and manners of eating, the affair of blessing. This is from the affairs of the unseen. But this is something that a believer, he believes in, the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are means to obtain the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. It has been clarified in the book and in the sunnah. From that, in buying and trading, being honest and being trustworthy and reliable, and clarifying anything that could lead to problems or disputes in the transaction, so that that doesn't occur, in order to avoid any falling out or any issues occurring between the parties. So the people of knowledge, they mention al-barakatu hiya thubutu al-khayr wa kathratuhu wa nama'uhu wa ziyadatu, that blessing, it is the establishment of goodness. It is to have goodness and in abundance, and that it will flourish and grow. And that will flourish and grow. So this is blessing. A person, he hopes for the blessing of Allah and then the goodness that Allah provides for his slaves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that goodness will remain, and that goodness will flourish and prosper and grow. And his right. So from the means of having the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal in one's business and buying and selling is that one, he will be honest and he will clarify that which needs to be clarified, and he will not conceal anything that he knows or feels it could be a problem if it was not mentioned and is found out later. And he must not be dishonest in any manner whatsoever, use any aspects of deception. So also from the benefits of this narration, we see الصدق والبيان من أهم الركائز التي تقوم عليها المعاملات بين الناس التي يجب أن تقوم عليها المعاملات بين الناس. That being truthful and honest and clarifying the details of the affairs are from the greatest fundamental principles and the greatest focal points that it's an obligation for the dealings between the people to be established upon. If this is with regards to buying and selling, then how about a marriage contract, for example? A person, he has to be honest. He cannot be deceptive or lie or cheat in any manner, or be dishonest. So from the greatest focal points and principles, and if that these mu'amalat bayn al-nas, the dealings and transactions and contracts that occur between the people, whether they're business contracts or other types of contracts likewise, the greatest principles that they revolve around here is this issue of being honest, being truthful, and clarifying the details that need to be clarified. Also from the benefits, أن الصدق في المعاملة سبب لاستجلاب بركة الله عز وجل. And being truthful and honest in one's dealings with the people is from the great means to bring about the blessing of Allah عز وجل. And also as well, الكذب والكتمان حرام ولا يجوز وسبب لمحق البركة لمحق البركة. And lying and concealing is haram and not permissible, and from the means of wiping out the blessing, doing away with the blessing. Also from the benefits of this narration, in the dunya, لا يتم حصولها إلا بالعمل الصالح. That the worldly life, a person, he will not truly obtain a good portion of that except by performing righteous deeds. وملازمة الصدق واتباعه, and holding fast to honesty and being truthfulness and having integrity and following that way properly. وأن شؤم المعاصي يذهب بخير الدنيا والآخرة, and that the foul outcomes of disobedience, it takes away the good of this life and the hereafter. The foul outcomes and the evils that come about because of actions of disobedience, these are from the means to do away with goodness, and if for a person to lose out in this life and in the hereafter. Here we have the narration of Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu. His name is Hakim ibn Hizam ibn Khuwaylid ibn Asad al-Asadi radiallahu عنه وهو ابن أخي خديجة زوج النبي رضي الله عنها. حكيم ابن حزام ابن خويلد ابن أسد خديجة, her name is خديجة بنت Khuwaydid ibn Asad, ibn Asad radiyallahu anhuma. So Hakim, he is ibn Akhi Khadija, zawjun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hakim ibn Hizam, he is the son of the brother of Khadija, the son of the brother of Khadija, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wulida qabla al-fil bi thalathin aw ithnay ashrata sana. He was born before the event of the elephant. Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu anhu, he was born before the event of the elephant by approximately 12 or 13 years. By approximately 12 or 13 years. So therefore, he's about 12 or 13 years older than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ مِنْ سَادَاتِ قُرَيْشِ وَمِنْ أَسْتِقَاءِ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قَبْلَ الْبِعْثَةِ. And he was from the noble and the leaders of the tribe of Quraysh, and from the friends of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he received prophethood. تَأَخَّرَ إِسْلَامُهُ إِلَى الْفَتْحِ. And he accepted Islam in the conquest of Mecca. And he did not accept Islam right away, radiyallahu anhu, but he was delayed, and at the conquest of Mecca, which was in which year? Eighth year. After the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accepted Islam. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُ مِنْهُمْ. And he was from those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given them lots of wealth to encourage them to enter into Islam and to be firm on the deen of Allah, from the people of the conquest of Mecca, and likewise after that of Al-Hunayn. They're known as Al-Mu'allafatu Qulubuhum, those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given them a lot of wealth from the sheep and the cattle and the likes, from the zakat and from the war booty, so on and so forth, in order to draw them closer to Islam. He was from them, and his Islam became good. لَهُ سِتُونَ حَدِيثًا أَرْبَعَةٌ فِي الْمُتَّفَقِ عَلَيْهَا ذَكَرَهُ الذَّهَبِ. He has narrated 60 narrations. Four of them are in the Muttafaq alayhi. Four of them are in Bukhari and Muslim. One of them is here. One of them is here, right? This book is all about the Muttafaq alayhi. This is something that al-Dhahabi, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. عُمِرَ 20 و100 سَنَةً نِصْفُهَا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَنِصْفُهَا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَالَهُ الْبُخَارِي وَالذَّهَبِي. That he lived a long life. He lived for 120 years. Half of it in Jahiliyyah, and half of it in Islam. And half of it in Islam. This is mentioned by al-Bukhari, and likewise al-Dhahabi. And likewise الذهبي. It's mentioned about him رضي الله عنه حتى في الجاهلية كان كريما سمحا جوادا رضي الله عنه. It's mentioned that he was, even in جاهلية, he was very kind, and he was very generous, and he was very helpful. اعتق في الجاهلية 100 رقبة وفي الإسلام 100 رقبة. That he said in جاهلية, before even Islam, before he accepted Islam, he said free 100 slaves. And before even accepting Islam, he set free 100 slaves. And after becoming a Muslim, likewise, he set free 100 slaves. Also from the virtues of Hakim ibn Hizam, radiyallahu anhu, and the good deeds that he was upon even before accepting al-Islam, was before the hijrah, in the time of the Hisar, whenever there was a great boycott, and Quraysh had kicked out Banu Hashim and Banu Abdul Muttalib, and they were in the valleys, in the small mountain trails, and they were left for dead, and there was a ban on them. No one was allowed to send them any help or any items or any food and the likes like this. And the story is well known in the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned that Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu anhu, he was a wealthy businessman. And he was from those that he would get many items and goods, and he would put them on the backs of animals. And then he would get close to where the Muslims, they were in those valleys and in those small trails and the likes like that. And then he would direct the animal that way and smack them on their backside, and they would take off running, and he with the goods. And in this manner, they were able to get some stores and some food and some wheat and barley and other provision. and the like. So he was also from those who were helping in those days, even before he had accepted Islam, radiyallahu anhu. It's been mentioned from his narrations, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the good that he did before accepting Islam. Would he benefit from that whatsoever? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, Aslamta ala ma aslafta min khayr, that you accepted Islam upon that which you had sent before in goodness. And whatever you did before in goodness for the sake of Allah, you carry that along with you in Islam. You carry that good along with you, and you have the reward of that likewise in al-Islam, insha'Allah. In al-Islam, insha'Allah. So this was Hakim ibn Hizam, radiyallahu anhu. He died in the year 50. Some mentioned the year 54, approximately, radiyallahu anhu. From the benefits of this narration, likewise, we see the issue of التجارة. This is our discussion. يعني البيوع والتجارة. لكن التجارة الرابحة هي المتاجرة مع الله سبحانه وتعالى. The true business and trade and commerce that's truly beneficial is that which one he does with his Lord, between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking to please Allah by doing the good deeds and that which is permissible and lawful, hoping for the reward and the promise of Allah. The true profit that comes from business, al-mutajara ma'allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mutajara ma'allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing business and commerce with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the true business. This is the true commerce. And this is the true profit and gain. This is the true profit and gain. The people who are into business, they're looking always for a come up. Right, they're looking for a come up. That's what they call it, right? I'm trying to come up. This is the true come up. The true come up is to obtain the reward and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the one who is getting the high and lofty status. This is the one who is coming up. Yani, this is the one who will be raised in this life and in the hereafter. And this mutajara here is likewise, it's based upon sincere faith. And from the greatest aspects of faith and the greatest attributes of a true believer, yani, and sincere faith, al-iman bil-ghaib, to believe in the unseen. To believe in the unseen. So from the unseen that we believe in is the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the help and support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily life and daily affairs, and likewise in the hereafter. Likewise in the hereafter, in life and at the time of death and in the grave and in the hereafter. We believe in these affairs, the reward of Allah, the recompense with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the help and aid of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. O you who believe, shall I not lead you or guide you to a business, a trade and commerce that will save you from a painful punishment, that will save you from a painful punishment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the answer, and to this tijara rabiha, tu'minuna billah, tu'minuna billahi wa rasulihi wa tujahiduna fi sabilillahi bi amwalikum wa anfusikum dhalikum khayrun lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. And that is that you believe in Allah and in his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you strive in the path of Allah with your wealth and your souls and your lives, and that is better for you if you truly knew, if you only truly knew. So this is the true tijara, the true mutajara, the true business and trade and commerce, is with sincere faith, believing in Allah and believing in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving upon that faith to seek the pleasure of Allah, an application of the limits and the laws and legislation and regulations that were clarified in the Sunnah and guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thadiyukum khayrul lakum min kuntum ta'lamun. This is better for you if you only knew. This is better for you if you only knew. The people of knowledge, they mentioned the tijara. And in the definition of tijara, in the first place, business, trade and commerce. Here, التصرف في رأس المال طلبا للربح. التصرف في رأس المال طلبا للربح. That a person, he would deal with his money in hopes to gain profit. He would deal with his money, invest his money and the likes like this with the intention to get profit. He'll buy this one with the hopes to sell it to gain profit. He will invest his money here with the hopes to get more money. This is what he's looking for. So he'll use his money, he'll invest his money, he'll put his money, work his money, and the likes like this, hoping for a profit. This is called business. This is called business. وتجارة هنا في هذه الآية الكريمة فسرت بالإيمان بالله ورسوله وبذل المال والنفس في سبيل الله سبحانه وتعالى. But the tijara that's being described here, it's interpreted to mean sincere faith and belief in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sacrificing and giving up one's wealth in his very soul and life and the path of Allah azza wa jal. So whenever you do business, you get a profit. So the business here is with your faith in Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you strive with your wealth and with your life. But what do you get in return? What do you get in return? You get Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You get Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in another verse, Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi'anna lahum al-jannah. بأن لهم الجنة. Indeed, Allah, He has purchased from the believers their souls, their lives, and their wealth. And that is that they will have al-jannah. So this is the price of Jannah, that you have sincere faith and you believe in Allah and you believe in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You strive in that belief with your wealth and with your life. It's reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, "Al-mujahid man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah." The true mujahid, the true one striving and fighting in the path of Allah, is the one who fights and strives against his own soul. The one who strives and fights against his own soul and the obedience of Allah. In this verse here in Surah Saf, likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified the recompense for that. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He will forgive you your sins. This is the recompense. Allah, He will forgive you your sins. And He will admit you into paradise with rivers flowing beneath. وَمَسَّكِينَ طَيِّبَ فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And He will also grant you abodes, great, nice homes and gardens, lofty, eternal gardens of paradise. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And this is the great success. This is the supreme success. الشنقيطي رحمه الله تعالى in his tafsir, he mentioned here a great benefit. He says, وَحَقِيقَةُ هَذِهِ التِّجَارَةِ أَنَّ رَأْسَ مَالِ الْإِنسَانِ حَيَاتُهُ وَمُنْتَهَاهُ مَمَاتُهُ. That the reality of this business, that this trade and commerce, is that رأس المال, and the head capital, the one who's doing business, he has a head capital. His main capital, that what's he doing with it? He's investing it and making profit. So the main money he has, this is his رأس المال. This is the capital that he's working with. Anything over that is profit. So he's saying that this main capital here, the reality of that, is a person's life. Is your life, brother. Is your life, sister. This is what you have to work with. This is your capital that you're working with. Is your life, the moments in your life, the breaths that you're taking, the steps that you're stepping and making, the steps that you're making, what you're proceeding upon. And that ends, that business and commerce ends at the time of death. So therefore, the advice and the admonishment is to take advantage of the life. Is to take advantage of one's life and this tijara with Allah Azza wa Jal, because the business is going to close. And the opportunity is going to pass. Whenever the soul leaves the body. So that which the dead, their remorse about the most is that which they had left behind from the righteous and good deeds. And the evil and wicked, this is all they hope for. To go back. To the dunya. To do what? To get married? To get money? To go back to the dunya too? نَعْمَلْ صَارِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتَ. To do righteous deeds. They want to go back to do righteous deeds. I need to do business with Allah Azza wa Jal. To do righteous and good deeds, hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author says, "Babu ma nuhiya anhu min al-buyur." The chapter with regards to that which is forbidden, Here we have a question: "Babu ma nuhiya an Al-Buyu', the chapter with regards to that which is forbidden from buying and selling from business transactions. The chapter with regards to that which is forbidden from business transactions. So why didn't he mention that which is lawful? It's lawful. The origin is that it's lawful. So if you want to count the lawful aspects of buying and selling, it will take a long time, or maybe you and I will be able to clarify all of them and to number them. But as for the aspects that are forbidden, then this is the one that is able to be clarified. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.